Good morning, podcast audience. And I'm going to start this podcast off just a little different. I got to give a big shout out, and I have to let people know about this Columbus, Ohio union rep, Will Johnson. This cat is busy. He's nice. Will J. Representing for Mel Hammers. Trust me when I tell you. Local 304, Grand Columbus, Ohio. I'm telling you, this cat is nice. Your will. No disrespect. Mad love to you, kid. Hey, listen, Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, I'm going to start this show off tonight with a little hip-hop. Yeah, something that me and Will Johnson kind of throw back and forth with each other. A little KRS-One, as Will likes to let me know and remind me, you know, knowledge reigns supreme. Listen. Young, new to the union ranks, and when I say new, he's probably about 4 years in, Will Johnson, and I want to say to the people in Columbus, Ohio, you got a steward that understands the fight. I'm sorry you have a steward that has bite and understands and don't mind addressing some of your issues on a little different level. Again, Will Johnson is probably one of the, you know what I'm saying, top five folks that if you gonna pick a steward, if you did shop stewards, and we know we don't like to shop stewards, but if you did, I'm sure that you'd stop at Will. Now, you might ask yourself, yo, why is Hodge blowing Will up like that? Well, let me tell you something. Quick story, and again, it makes me proud to tell the story because it shows some kind of hope in Local 304. And that is, there's a memo out from the national president on mail handlers over the cap and what should generally happen if you go over the cap. Well, apparently, Columbus didn't read that memo and they violated. And again, I met with Will and presented my grievance and presented my argument. And I want to say he did an excellent job because I got paid. Now, let me tell you, it's kind of a slam dunk situation. Nothing's real easy because, you know, we as mail handlers bring a lot of complication to things. But you got to understand something. If you are on the overtime desire list and it is your desire to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, while your facility is over the cap,
tell them what Paul said.
On authorized number of mail handlers, I'm sorry, the
tell
national
what
president.
Paul said.
Now, I'm not talking about some Paul. Memo. The national president said, if
Paul
that
said.
Happens, then this should generally happen also. So all I'm saying is, and I got to like kind of give Columbus a little bit of a management, a little bit of a hand clap, because they're kind of liberal with the overtime desire list shows and no shows, as long as, again, because there's other folks in the building, the areas are being covered. So I do appreciate that from postal management, but I want mail handlers to understand, if you're on the list and that is not being afforded, that opportunity to work those hours are not being afforded to you, then all I'm going to say to you is just have a talk with Will. Now, I hope will mob up with the rest of the stewards and everybody get on this same understanding of this memo and get mail handlers paid for not being allowed to work. Now, that's just me. I presented that argument to Will. Will presented that argument to management, and money was given to me for work not performed. Now, don't get me wrong. Nah. I was getting ready to tell you I'd rather work for it. But for real, no, I'd rather get it just the way I got it. You violate, I do nothing and get paid. That's just being 100. So again, Will understands that. And let me tell you something, okay? One of the reasons I'm kind of partial to Will, see, Will came in under my administration. His base, he got with a different union environment. Again, I just said different. There were different types. My stewards kind of stayed on, we kind of stayed on attack mode just a little more, and there was solid knowledge in there. Just real quick, you know, my man, my heart, my breath, my dog, you know, Damian Russell. And even though me and Scotty don't really see eye to eye, Daniel Scott was in there providing a lot of administrative guidance to me on how to do certain things. We don't kind of see eye to eye because of another issue. But when we got started, I mean, he was right there, you know. Then we had Will. I knew this cat was for real. When we started downloading or putting all grievances on a disk, he broke out his Apple computer. We had a young lady named Susie, and for her to be new to the union, anybody who knows that young lady know the bite that she carried. Okay? Now, again, I'm just saying those were some of the more prominent stewards that Will came up and around. But again, don't get me wrong, he added his own swag to it. And I just want to say to the members of Columbus, Ohio, again, no disrespect to any other steward, but mad respect to Will Johnson. Yo, do your thing, Will. And members, go get at him. Go get at him. You got questions, whatever, you know, because again, he appears to want to do work. Now, let's address the elephant in the room. And that is an issue that I've not been too vocal on this podcast, and that is the new Postmaster General. Now, on Facebook, they threw mud pies at me because I said I agreed with some of the decisions he initially made. And I'm going to tell you, I still agree. I personally think, and let me tell you something, I'm just an employee viewing the Postal Service from my perspective. So what I'm about to say to you, this is what I see. I personally think the media gave him a raw deal. I think that the moves and the changes that Postmaster DeJoy was initiating in the post office were greatly needed. I think he had to answer for a lot of processes that were in place before he became Postmaster General. Now, he may have, through his conversation to the media, gave more of a direct answer than they're used to hearing from the United States Postal Service, but I'm gonna tell you something. You know, I see on Facebook all the collection cans in the back of a truck, like they're taking away mailboxes. Well, let me say this to you, and again, I don't offer excuses. I offer alternatives. When's the last time you actually used a mailbox, any mailbox? Most people mail their mail where they get their mail. And if that's not a convenience, then how much more convenient can it possibly be? There is no need to actually go to a mailbox. If you're at work, the carrier is going to deliver your mail, and they'll pick up your mail. If you're at home, you put your mail in the slot in that NDCBU or whatever mailbox type you have, the carrier is going to pick that mail up and leave. So even if that had been something that was designed to slow down mail pickup, it doesn't stop the mail. And I also want to say that it is not uncommon in the post office. In fact, quarterly, they do density checks on these mailboxes. Now, some people may say, well, it's just sitting there. It's not costing anything. Well, I mean, okay, I'm not going to really argue with that because the upkeep on it, when you talk about a single mailbox, probably isn't that great. But forever, if the mailbox had a density check in a sufficient number of pieces of mail was not in that box, then that box was removed. That's not a new thing. I talked to some carriers, and they were saying that there were residents in their area that didn't get mail for 4 or 5 days. Now, if you know me in management, that's kind of where you may know me from, a delivery unit. Let's all be honest, and can we say we've never seen that before? And I'm not saying it's right. I'm simply saying situations that happen in the post office every day, the media got a hold of it and blew it out of proportion, and the employees and a lot of people began to look at our new postmaster as it's his fault. Now, again, I don't stand here in defense of everything that he does because I'm not aware of everything that he does. But I do know that a lot of what the media attached to him, it wasn't even of his own doing. Now, one thing that he did that I don't think you could argue with is when he cut out all those late and extra trips, do you know the post office has already saved millions of dollars? I think the count was somewhere up around $30 million. So, and we're still here. We're still delivering to our customer. So I'm just trying to tell people, you got to understand something. Sometimes, again, I like to use the magic trick analogy. And that is, while we're concentrating on is the new Postmaster General going to tank the post office so that he can lend support to the president? And what we should be concentrating on is the new Postmaster General going to set us up for privatization? See, I think that's the bigger picture, because let me tell you something, folks. Mail, if they send all the ballots through the mail, you and I both know all those ballots are never going to get delivered, even in a perfect world. But if we can get 95% or better, or whatever number is an acceptable number, because 100%, let's be for real, it's not going to happen. But whatever number, somebody, whoever decides what that number is, if we can achieve that number on delivering ballots, then I think that the race will be a fair race, and the voters will have their choice in whoever it is they choose to be president. But I definitely think that the Postal Service can handle that workload and will handle that workload. Now here's the other side of what's going to happen as a result of Postmaster General DeJoy saying he's going to halt all changes. So, again, through my eyes, the PMG was implementing stages. Well, if he's got about 4 or 5 months to sit back and write and plan when the election is over, then what you're going to see will be sweeping changes. So a part of his implementation timeline is he's being idle again to satisfy the public outcry that they think he's trying to tank the post office. But during that time, once the election is over, and then they go back to, okay, whatever, PMG, go ahead and run the post office, put your seatbelt on, because there's going to be a lot of changes coming. My name is Kenny Hodge. I'm the producer of Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Again, I try to give you my view. Again, I don't side with management, and I am 100% union, but I understand what's right and what should happen. And I'm a proponent, I'm a key advocate of trying to ensure that that does happen. Have a great day.